Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is October 23rd, 2020. Haven't gotten my Halloween costume yet.
Boo.
Welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined with somebody that I admire and I believe is one of the best corn experts in the entire world.
Oh, not even just the country, the whole world, huh?
Yeah, I'm giving you the world. And that's Nicole Thomas, Vice President, Information Sales and Service. How you doing, Nicole?
I'm doing great. Hey, you brought up Halloween.
Yeah.
What's your costume this year?
I have no idea. I can tell you what my kids are going to be. My son's going to be the Mandalorian, and he has a little baby Yoda, which is Cannoli, my dog.
Oh, cute.
And then Stella's going to be an old lady.
Oh, okay. Preparing for the future, are we?
I don't know how to do that. You know, I should. You know, I wasn't offended because I'll tell you what, Nicole. She came to me and said, "Dad, do you have a cane?"
Oh wow! She's like, "You're old. Surely you have the right equipment you're pretty old to me."
And I didn't take offense to it, and I'll tell you why. Because. Yeah. When I was young, I thought people were older than they were. For example, yes. Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. When I saw that video as a kid, Rick Rowland, when I saw that video, I thought that guy was like 50. Well, in the video, he's actually 21 or 22.
I know. But when you're like six, you know,
they
look pretty old. Well, your costume selection, for your kids, is a little... I don't know. Mine may be a little telling about what type of parent I am. So I'm going to dress up as Negan. You know who Negan is? Walking Dead? I have Lucille.
Oh,
I have Lucille. I found the jacket. I found the boots.
Oh, boy.
You know, I love an anti-hero. How about that? But the telling, if that wasn't telling enough. So my son picks his own costume.
Yeah.
At Spirit Halloween, which is for him like Disney World. Again, telling about me as a parent. He looks forward to this every year. And so he picked for the first time completely on his own, picked his own costume.
And
everybody's not going to know this character. And frankly, I wouldn't know if it weren't for my son. But he's going to be the bear from Five Nights at Freddy's. Now, let me tell you a little something for those who don't know. Five Nights at Freddy's is a video game where the premise is Freddy's, I guess, is like a Chuck E. Cheese deal. With animatronics. And Freddy, I'm assuming the bear's name is Freddy. I don't know. His objective in the game is to catch the kids and turn them into animatronics.
Wow.
It's a little dark over here.
Speaking of dark, let's talk about corn. Yeah. No, I'm going to set this up for you, Nicole, because I think this is a really cool podcast, and it's going to be about corn and corn futures. And I'm telling you, our current client base would love to hear your thoughts. How the heck did we get here? How the heck did futures see? And I'll tell you what, all non-paying clients, if you're not a client, I'll tell you what. If you're involved in the corn market, you're some executive in your organization's probably going to tap on your door pretty soon if they already hadn't. So let's give them an idea of why we're here. And one final thing is, if you're a paid subscriber to IQ Platform, listen at the end. We'll have the paid part and a little bit more in depth on commercially what's happening. So that's your ball on the tee, as they would say.
Okay.
So how the heck did we get here?
So as you alluded to, this is the freebie, because I'm sure that a lot of folks are getting this question, especially considering where corn's been versus where the futures are today. So I'm going to give you either take notes or just keep replaying this podcast until you get it all down, because I'm giving you your defense to the person who never watches corn futures, but then, you know, poses the question, well, why didn't we book? So here you go.
Okay.
So we're going to start out going all the way back to the beginning of 2020. Okay.
All right.
Corn ending stocks in the U.S. at that point in the January WASDE report are projected at a little under 1.9 billion bushels for 2019-20. Okay. So, and that's going to be key for those folks who also got tapped on the shoulder about why they didn't buy when corn futures were much cheaper. So at that point, you know, looking at 370, 375, 380 looked pretty good because, you know, all in all, that's a, it's not a tight market, but you know, not as bearish as it became. So COVID hits in March and the market begins its march lower. We get to the end of March and we get the prospective plantings report. That comes out with producers saying that they're going to plant 97 million acres of corn. Now, I don't think anybody expected 97 million acres, and we were taking into consideration, okay, these surveys were done before most of us knew about COVID.
Right. Sure.
And so at that point, you know.
That was nice.
You got it. Yeah, yeah. So at that point, you know, we're thinking, okay, maybe 94, 95 million. Either way, it's going to be a large crop. Okay?
Right.
So then we go through April and May and COVID and the COVID effect. And just about every product category of demand is taking a dump other than toilet paper and paper towels as a backup plan.
Okay.
All the futures are moving lower. And May 19 futures bottom out, you know, around $3 in late April. And December 20 futures are trading somewhere in the mid $3 range a bushel at that point. And so, of course, someone's going to say to you, well, then why didn't you take the coverage then?
That's right.
Okay. Because that's, of course, that's going to be the question. Well, it was great then. Why didn't you do it? Well, when you looked at the June WASDE, it put ending stocks for 2020-21 marketing year at over 3.3 billion bushels.
Okay.
With a stocks to use ratio of 22.4%.
Whole lot of corn.
And there weren't any major issues during the planting season. In fact, we got the corn in the ground pretty early. So at that time, $3.45 a bushel December corn still seemed to be about 50 cents a bushel too expensive.
That's right.
You know, relative to such huge stocks. These would have been record-setting stocks and not by a little bit, okay? Then we get to the end of June and we get the acreage report. And the producers say, oh, our bad. We're only planting 92 million acres, right? so the market's expecting something closer to, you know, 93, 94 million acres. So this is seen as a little bullish. Okay, but we're still not worried because, you know, the July WASDE report says even with acreage coming down, we're still looking to produce like 15 billion bushels of corn. It's going to be one of the largest, if not largest, crops still. So now I don't know if you've ever heard of the term or understand, you know, if you remember back in grade school when you talked about the structure of a story or even a magic trick, if you've ever seen the movie The Prestige, this is when we get to the point that they call the turn.
Okay.
First comes the change in the weather pattern. And by the middle to the end of July, it's getting a lot drier throughout the Midwest.
Oh, jeez.
May not be too bad.
Yeah, what card is that?
Yeah, right, exactly. The Joker's about to come out.
Yeah, God.
And at that point, we're thinking, okay, that may not be, you know, the most horrible thing ever because, you know, we got a good chunk of the corn planted early. And a lot of it's past pollination at this point, which is, you know, arguably the most critical time in the development of the corn crop for yield and all that good stuff.
Not folding yet.
Soybeans, not folding yet. Soybeans, a little worry, right? But not a huge deal.
Okay.
Then we get to August.
Uh-oh.
And we have
another turn.
We have another turn. The turn thickens. The plot thickens. We have a 1-in-100-year weather event called a derecho.
Oh, gosh.
And that comes through most of Iowa and portions of Illinois, which happen to be number one and number two in terms of corn-producing states in the U.S.
Okay. All right.
So then we get this sharp rise in December 20 contracts or the December 20 contract, and we go from about 320 a bushel to around 340-ish over the course of a few days.
Okay.
If that were it,
All right. I still got my money in the pot. All the other players are looking at me.
Exactly.
What do I got?
That's not all. Uh-huh. That's not all.
Okay.
Then by the end of August into September, China enters the market.
That is not the card I wanted.
And that was not the card. You thought you were going to, at this point, you can still use the ace as a one. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Fine.
All right. So you're not completely out yet. Okay.
Okay.
But you know, over the course of 4 to 6 weeks, it's story after story after story of China buying corn and soybeans, corn and soybeans. Mm. And the market's still trying to fill out just how much corn we lost in that derecho. Okay. So there's definitely, you know, there's bullishness here, and we're at the end of the production season. Is it a peak point? What? We're going to see, right? Then September, the WASD comes out. Mm-mm. And the USDA takes 500,000 acres out of the harvested number. Mm. And takes yield down by almost 3 bushels per acre. Okay. At this point, we're still, okay, we're not completely in danger yet. We're still thinking, okay, well, you know, to some degree, we expected this because of this derecho, okay? Okay,
right.
It's coming.
Right.
Meanwhile, South America is running out of beans and corn. Argentine currency devaluation is accelerating. Mm-mm. And Ukrainian production is falling. So now we're starting to get hit on this global side. You know, some of that had been brewing. But now it's really getting into the market as reality, okay? So we're like, all right, surely, we're done with the surprises.
That's right. Okay? I'm still in it. I'm still in it.
Nope.
What happened?
Nope.
Don't turn that final card on me. What is it?
So September grain stocks report comes out.
I hate that report.
And the USDA says, oops. We may have miscounted stocks back in June.
You just gave me a 5.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not looking too good. Not by 5 million bushels. Not by 20 million bushels. Uh-huh. Not by 50 million bushels.
No.
No, we're off by about 200 million bushels. What the stocks number was back in June. And meanwhile, China keeps buying corn and soybeans. Okay.
I'm out.
You're ready to scream uncle at this point. Yeah, all your chips are in. Yeah. It's a bad spot.
I'm heading to the buffet.
I know, right? What can you do? If there's nothing else to do, you go to the buffet, get a drink.
Never
right?
get the seafood.
So, you know, you've got a few bucks in your pocket left for the buffet and for your drink. And you're thinking, okay, you know, this has got to be as bad as it gets. No more surprises after this. Or
come on.
We can get an October WASD.
Come on.
That shows a reduction of planted, not harvested, planted acres by 1 million acres. And stronger than expected demand for the feed category in 2019-20.
Wait a minute.
So, altogether, we lose, because of all this, we lose about 350 million bushels in ending stocks. And what was once expected to be a stocks-to-use ratio over 20% is now sitting at just under 15%. Mm. Now, I go through all this because it's real easy to Monday morning quarterback it, what you could have done, what you should have done, et cetera. But 2020, in all senses of the word, has been an extremely abnormal year. And then on top of that, add in the specs who have been adding to their positions throughout this process. And you have December corn now at nearly a dollar more than it was less than 6 months ago. So if anyone poses the question to you, what happened?
Yeah.
How did we get it wrong?
Yep.
Lay that all out for them.
Okay.
Because I've only been doing this for, I don't know, where I'm at, about 14, 15 years, something like that. I started fresh out of high school, if anybody's trying to guess my age. Fresh out of high school.
I'm not even going to try. I know, but
I'm but the you know, at the end of the day, a lot of things transpired in a short period of time that got us where we're at with this futures, with the futures market, and why we're here. So That's a story version of what took place.
And this is why, and I don't know much about cards, and this is why, because
this is why you don't gamble.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was an awesome recap, Nicole. That was absolutely awesome. And for those listeners out there, again, for the paid subscribers, keep listening, because we're going to go in a little bit more in depth into digging into what we just talked about and what it means moving forward. So if you're not a subscriber, go ahead, reach out to us. We would love to have you as a subscriber. We welcome everybody. Yes. To our great intelligence. And so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, Nicole. And as I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment that you have with your friends and family. Be grateful. Yes. And Nicole, we heard a really good quote this morning. What was that quote?
We did.
What was it?
I can't remember it.
Oh,
though.
Come on.
I hope you've...
Pessimists seem smart. Optimists make money.
Exactly. That was it. You got it. Pessimists seem smart, but it's the optimist that makes the money.
So I know these are tough times for everybody, but stay optimistic, stay positive, and stay grateful for what you have. All right. And until next week, take care, everybody.
See you later.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.